Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk Love is Blind, Meryl dating rumors,
and who the fuck did I marry TikTok saga.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
What are our thoughts on Machine Gun Kelly's new body tats?
I think it's summed up by a tweet I saw that said he's launching this during Black History Month. He's literally just got this massive new tattoo, which is just black. Yeah. And it looks like it's covering a bunch of his existing ones.
Do you reckon that's what sort of motivated it?
Yeah, because he's always been heavily tattooed.
Yeah.
And I feel like he either was going to like laser them off and start again or just go black.
Yeah. Once you go black,
it's really difficult to get it removed.
Yeah. Like I would have opted for the first.
Yeah. Everything that Machine Gun Kelly does is such an attempt at being rock and roll and cool that it's so lame. Like nothing he does makes me think like that's a cool guy.
And it's so funny for someone who is like so often doing, as you're saying, like these sort of try-hardy rocker things that feel fraudulent. It's like he has like no hold over pop culture. Like I don't think anyone actually knows who he is. Like, when people find out he's in Blink-182, is it? I say that as a question.
Wait,
like,
no, he's not. He's you're convincing
that's
him.
Travis Barker.
Well, there you go.
No, but that's exactly
That's the thing.
I thought they were the same person for a while.
Wait, are they not?
Oh, my God. No. Travis Barker is Kourtney
Kardashian's
boyfriend.
I thought this was him.
No. Machine Gun Kelly is Megan Fox's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh. Or maybe they're still together. I'm not sure. And Travis Barker is currently in Australia. Blink 182 are playing in Melbourne tonight.
And
tomorrow.
Oh my God. I literally thought this was Kourtney Kardashian's husband.
No, Kourtney would never.
She fucking might.
I mean, true. But I feel like Travis is kind of like soft, but he has lots of tattoos.
Yes. Mm. Oh my God. Okay. Well, then what I'm saying is like doubly true. That I just feel like this man is so like...
He's also in the zeitgeist because I don't know if you guys are watching the newest season of Love is Blind.
No.
I need to. You're get missing into it. You actually need to get a prescription from your doctor and watch Love is Blind. Truly, it reels me back in every year. Like, you could tell me how many scandals there were. No, it's actually awful what's been happening behind the scenes. But anyway, there's a girl on it and she was in the, you know, it's in the pods when they're blind.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they can see. But so when they're in the pods.
The sensory deprivation tanks.
Yeah. And she's dating this guy called Jimmy. And it's like between her. Her name is Chelsea. And it's between her and a girl called Jess. And he's taking notes and they're asking each other questions. And she asked him, like, are there any celebrities that people say you look like? And I can't remember what he said or if he said anything. And then he goes, how about you? And she goes, I don't know if this is... She was like, people tell me, the one that people tell me I look like is Megan Fox. And then she quickly rounds it up by being like... That's what people say. She was like, I honestly think it's just because I have green eyes and brown hair and people just say I look like that. And she was like, I don't know how true that is. So she's already like...
Just casually like, I look like one of the top five most beautiful people in this world.
I know, but like...
But does she?
She does. Okay. Oh, she does. Okay. But I know this cis straight scum man. And I know that if you even say, oh, people tell me I look like this, he's like, you better look exactly like Megan Fox
or I'm going to be let down.
And she's a fair bit taller. She's a bigger girl as well. And she is not an identical match to Megan Fox. And it is blowing up online. I'm on her side because I think she backs out of it straight away. And she's not saying I'm her twin. She's saying people tell me I look like.
Have they met? Like, have they? Did
they've met in person. They've matched up. He proposed to her. And what's.
Was he like, did he say anything about it?
He said. He's like laughing and she's like, so what do you think? And he's like, well, you definitely lied about something. And what's insane is that the girl that, so he was between two girls. Yes. She has like the same like brow and mouth. And like, she definitely has the same features as Megan Fox. And I'm like, absolutely.
But you know, in the side to side, people are doing her dirty as well because they're putting like photos of Megan Fox where Megan Fox doesn't even look like herself anymore.
Yeah, she looks
exactly.
Strange in that photo.
You know,
it's wild. And it's just been insane watching how awful people are online about it. And I'm like, she clearly said, this is what people say. Like, I could get up there and be like, some people say I look like blah, 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 but we all know I look like Aileen Wuornos, the serial killer. Like, but it's just, and there was this iconic monologue that I would love you guys to watch of the girl that he lets down, Jess, being like, when you see me, you're not going to be able to breathe. You're going to regret your decision so much that you don't even need to step aside to take a breath. You're going to need an EpiPen.
What?
What?
Because he's so hot.
Because she's so hot, yeah.
Is she?
She is hot, but like it's also great because it's
just.
Wait,
he said this or she said this?
She said it. She said it to him when he rejected her. What? She was like, you are not going to be able to breathe. And it's kind of amazing because you're like, fuck yeah. And also, he is the most mid guy I've ever seen in my life. You got to see it. And I'm on Chelsea's side. I think that she said something offhand and then tried to back away from it. And now it's just going to fucking follow her for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, with a show that's called Love is Blind, the looks truly shouldn't matter. They should fall in love based on personality. So why this whole thing about like, I look like this, or I look like that, or you're going to die because I'm so beautiful. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I would just never say that I looked like... Because if you look like a celebrity, you're either a hotter version or a less hot version. And if you're the less hot version, even if there's a resemblance, it feels like it's a read of yourself to say that.
I nearly said the resemblance I got and then I pulled away because I was like, I'm not having that. I'm not having that side to side.
Yeah.
Because I know where I stand.
The podcast is just going to go viral for that exact reason because we are just all like comparing ourselves.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, nah, you're all ugly.
Yeah. We're the sugar babes. The three of us. We are the sugar babes.
I would love to be the sugar babes. It is wild that a show that's title is Love is Blind has done nothing but prove that love is in fact not blind. Like,
yes.
As soon as these people meet each other, it goes pear-shaped. And it's not to say that like people's attractiveness is what lets them down. It's just like, no, you need to like have like body language.
Yes.
And like be able
chemistry,
to be near each other.
Communication.
100%.
Like, all of these things.
I have been seeing a bit of discourse about Love is Blind this season. People saying that it felt like this season of all the seasons was the most influencer heavy and like people coming onto it to sort of get a step into the world of like hosting or acting or something like that. And that they need to do more, pun intended, blind casting and genuinely take people that don't know that they're getting into Love is Blind and shows like that because people are coming in now knowing that it's like a vehicle.
It does start to happen on reality shows.
I truly think that that's all reality TV is now. And it's kind of like shifted from random people who want to be on TV to people who want to be big on social media.
Yeah. The amount of like 24-year-old men who are like, I'm looking to settle down. I'm looking for a wife and for kids.
Lies.
Get out, you fake ass.
You're a liar. You're a liar. It is. No, it's so true. I think we talked about it a bit with Squid Game as well. It's like even the like fun, like money winning challenges and stuff like that. Back in the day, it was like, I want to go to Disneyland. And I was like, I need to pay off my mortgage. Like,
yeah.
I would love this to survive. So it's like,
also dire. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I reckon I would be really good on Love is Blind. And that's
what's
not
the
way
skill set?
Exactly. You're supposed to fall in love, but I'm like, I would win.
What? Is there a cash prize?
No.
Yeah.
You're I'm trapped.
Like, I'm like, there's no money.
I know. You're like, what's the incentive? Because it's like, clearly not love.
Yes. I just want to be in there and I don't want to be a part of the game, but I want to be able to have access.
I want to experience that.
Yes. I want to have access to both the male and the it's very binary.
The gender quarters.
They should have a queer lover's mind.
Everyone
would have to just
so
go
messy.
Into their own pods afterwards. It'd be like isolation tanks.
Oh my God.
Because they can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's then they'd so see true. Each
and
other.
They have like, what's her name? Like Vanessa Lovejoy or whatever
like
come in.
Some straight person.
Vanessa Lachey.
Vanessa Lachey comes in and is like, we're this expert couple and like they're purporting to be this like loved up.
Yeah.
We made it against the odds. And now we're
twin flame shit.
Yes. It's very that.
They host the ultimatum as well. And she's like, I gave him an ultimatum. And like, they always have these like funny little quips where I'm like, do you hate each other?
I know.
Yeah, I feel like that's what most straight relationships on social media are when you look at them, like, especially on big accounts where it's like the whole like Disney t-shirt. I've seen this compilation. It had like a bunch of Disney t-shirts that people wear as couples.
Ugh.
And it's basically like best day of my life on her t-shirt. And on his, it's like most expensive day of my life. Or like, I dreamed and planned this. I financed this.
Oh my God.
I maxed out a credit card. And it's like
the Thanksgiving ones. It's like, he stuffed my turkey.
Oh
it's
my
like,
God.
I brought the stuffing or whatever.
Yeah. Nah, that's funny. Yeah.
I'm cooking the turkey.
Yeah. We should just get them. We should get some t-shirts. It's just like, I did the stuffing.
I came in a cunt. It is very funny because it's so like in avoiding the sexual nature of it, it just becomes more perverse.
Mm. Like, yeah, it's actually so disgusting.
My friend and I did a, we hosted a like sketch show together and we got matching t-shirts made up and mine said, she's my everything with an arrow. And then hers pointed back and said, I don't care that he's gay.
Perfect. I love that.
That's the perfect marriage.
We were talking about Machine Gun Kelly before, but did you see old mate Joe Exotic reached out from prison and like hit up his story being like, a little bit of meth and some tigers and you'd be mine.
Oh God, that guy is...
He, like, what the hell? How does he have Instagram in prison?
I don't get it.
That's so true.
Is it like, you know how like you get like one call a week or so, or whatever it
you
is?
You get one thirsty Instagram comment. Yeah.
They're like, you get an hour on the socials.
That's what I'd need. I'd need an hour on TikTok. Would not call my family. Would not call my partner.
Yeah, they're like, we haven't heard from Jordan in years. But she's liking, like, reposting things on TikTok, so we know she's alive.
Speaking of which, can you guys fill me in on this TikTok? It's like the, I found out about my husband.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
So you have not watched Who the Fuck Did I Marry, have you?
I've seen it floating around. I haven't watched it.
You don't have a spare 8 hours.
There were 50 parts and then, like, a few, like, explainers.
Yeah.
And I watched it all. There's actually a TikTok feature, if you're not aware, where you can watch things on like times and a half or double speed. You just hold down and then you can speed it up.
Wow.
So I did that because I'm basically unemployed.
I mean, I chose to forego sleep. It's like, I can't do this at work, but I will do it in my own time at my own detriment.
Okay, let's fill you in together with what happened and how it all started. So essentially, she met this man on two different dating sites, and that was the first red flag.
And she's just an everyday person? She's not
just,
like
she's somebody who should be cast on Love is Blind. Do you know what I mean?
Oh like, God, just, I would watch that.
Yeah, like just a normal person. So she's matched with this guy on two sites, and he has got slightly different names on each side. So she knows him as both, but they make a date and he's like, what's your favorite restaurant? And she says, Cheesecake Factory. But on the way there, she has a tire blowout and she calls him. She tells him, he comes, he changes her tire.
I forgot about this. I forgot the meet cute, because as it goes on, you're like, what is it about this guy?
I need to like set this up so we know that she's not a fool.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so they have the meet cute. As they walk into Cheesecake Factory, they're already holding hands. And when they're there, they're like talking about their families. He's like disclosing a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Which now she's like, oh my God, he didn't have to tell me about like his fucking 12 siblings and his parents, blah, blah, blah. But he did. And she kind of saw it as like an open thing. And then they get along really well and they start dating.
Yeah. And it's also important to know that this was all in 2020. So this is right before their meeting, just as like we're lockdowns about to go and things. Into, yeah. Yeah. Quarantine's about to be announced. I really like her. There's something about her energy where I was like, I like her. And she kept being like, hey, I'm going to look bad in this, or you're going to be like, why the fuck did you do this or agree to this and stuff? And she's like, I know. And like, as the story wears on, she's like, I could see that this was a red flag and I still kept going or whatever.
His justifications were also very good.
Yeah.
So for example, he set up that he had a previous career in stadium football.
Yeah. It was called arena football.
Arena football.
Which is like,
she doesn't really know what that is. Right. But he's like just going on about it. And he's like, so I have like 20K in savings here, and then I have all this money in an offshore account because I don't want to be taxed. And that's all the money that I smartly invested when I was doing arena football. So when they've moved in together and they're looking at buying a house and he tells her that he has money, she believes it. But as it unravels, she finds out that he doesn't have an offshore account and that the bank account that he showed her was screenshots from Google.
And because he'd always print them out as well. Yeah, he'd be like printed out emails, printed out things. He'd be like, see, these are the statements. This is it.
Wait, so what's the broad arc of the story? So like, was she like long distance having a relationship with him? Was she being catfished or something?
They moved in together because he was living in a studio apartment and she was living in like a 2.5-bedroom place.
Yeah.
Because of the pandemic, it just happened, like Jordan said. And also she felt pregnant.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was really happy about it. And he was telling her he wanted a family. He was like, my family's really religious, blah, blah, blah. So they're living together. They're going for these inspections. And I actually go into a little bit more detail with this one because I remember exactly what happened. Okay. She says they got married on January 5th. By January 31st, she knew she was in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
That's what she said.
Like, that's such a good comment.
I knew I was in trouble.
Oh my God. I can like hear the Netflix music.
And what's
crime
weird,
doco.
It literally, what's truly the most upsetting part of the story for me is that she ended up having a miscarriage. And so she had to go have a procedure to have the fetus removed. And it's a full on procedure. And it's really sad, really emotional. He said he couldn't make it because he had a meeting that was like potentially going to lead to a big job promotion. And he had his like assistant, David.
Yeah.
He's got a whole host of characters stories around him. She comes to find out months later that there was no meeting. There was no promotion. What the fuck was he doing?
Also, every morning, he spent 30 to 45 minutes on the phone to his brother when we later find out that his whole family had cut ties with him. So every morning he's on the phone and it's something like this. He goes, hey, we went to a barbecue this weekend. Potato salad, that's what's up. You know, that's what it sounds like. And then he goes like, yeah, that was good. How about you? And then there's like silence. So she thinks he's talking to someone. And then he'll go, John says hi. And she says, well, say, can I speak with him? And he's like, we're about to hang up, but I tell him you said hi back. Like the conduit to this conversation that she thinks she's having with his family.
It's just made up.
And the way
all made up.
She ends up getting married at the courthouse.
It's not what she wanted.
No.
She wanted her family to be there, but it was COVID. And so she kind of goes along with a lot of the stuff because of COVID and circumstances. But then when it all unravels and she finds things out, she goes full FBI on him.
So I feel like the other shoe has to drop. Like, what then happens?
So it kind of became this thing as well that she knew that he was lying about these offshore accounts. She knew that something wasn't adding up. He kept saying that he wanted to buy houses in cash, kept like test driving cars and all this stuff that never came through. And so she was like, something's going to happen. He ends up getting a knee injury that means he can't go to work, and she's like, I can tell that he's in a lot of pain. And she comes home, she finds that he's been cheating on her with a sex worker during this time. So he's managed to find himself to go have sex with someone else, but he can't seem to get himself to the bathroom. It must be a different leg that operates that part. But he's pissing in Powerade bottles. She keeps buying in Powerade bottles because that's all he'll drink, and he's using the empty bottles and filling them with piss in the bedroom. And she was like, that was like,
and also they weren't having sex anymore.
Yeah,
like he was outsourcing it and all of this shit. And then she remembers his grandma's name, who he said several of his family members he claims died due to COVID. But she looks up obituaries online and finds that they actually passed away in 2008.
Yeah,
she finds his ex-wife And because she's at her wit's end, she somehow finds the other woman's contact details and she calls her and she's like, I don't want to disturb you or anything, but what's happening?
Yeah.
So the woman like tells her everything he's telling you is a lie. Is he telling you he has offshore accounts? He has none of that, blah, blah, blah. And the most upsetting thing is he just made up that his stepdaughter, so his ex-wife's daughter, died due to COVID. He made that up. And that's when she's like getting everything in motion to kick him out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. On his birthday.
Like now?
The update now. Okay. So one of the things was he had her test drive this blue BMW
with a mahogany.
Yeah. With mahogany inside and the cognac interiors. BMW gifted her that car. She also always wanted to go to London.
He promised her this as well. Another promise.
Another promise. He printed out an itinerary and he was like, I booked us a stay at the Savoy. He did none of that. Mm-hmm. But she's going now.
Oh, by herself.
By herself. Yes. And it was like just a video of her like in the plane, the classical like taking off, getting another stamp in my passport, and everyone is just rooting for her.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
But like the lies this man told, that's like insane. I can't even remember.
And it was so, I feel like we're gonna hear more stories about this now that like the COVID's not over, but I'm saying the restrictions are over. And I feel like a lot of people like this guy use the restrictions to control people well.
Yeah.
Happened in Sister Wives. Like, you know, in terms of being like, oh, we can't go because that person's infected. Or like, I'm scared of getting COVID here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that is a legitimate fear for a lot of people. But the this guy, if he's pissing in Powerade bottles, there's something about that that maybe says he's not too concerned about hygiene and passing off disease.
So true. Something about the TikTok story I'll quickly say as well is, her lying, cheating husband was a twin. And he actually pretended to have the life that his twin brother had. So he was like, I'm like really successful. I'm a VP at this and that company. And that's what his brother actually did. And then I saw a TikTok that was like, and here is why twins are more likely to be like pathological liars. So if any of you are dating twins, be careful.
Be careful.
Oh I God. Didn't know this, oh but now we know.
Oh my God, it's I Know Who Killed Me.
Yes.
Have you seen this Lindsay Lohan film? It's so good. Really.
Was it her twin?
Yeah, she played twins again.
Oh,
and,
perfect. Born to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a travesty. It's so bad. I watch it every year. Oh, did you see she's doing a new Netflix movie called The Irish Wish?
I think she should just do that every year.
Yes.
Because is it going to be like a Christmassy movie or is it
again?
Like...
It looks like it's like a holiday film. It's like one of those kitsch AI generated films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I remember her last holiday movie and it was awful. So I will definitely be watching.
We will be seated.
Yeah.
100%. I think that's the perfect future for Lindsay. Like, I would love for her to have a Lisonnaissance, but I think where she's sitting right now, I'm just, as long as she's making money and she's working consistently, she's getting used to being on set again, maybe we'll see her in, I don't know, whatever Ryan, what's that guy?
Seacrest?
No.
Glee.
Yeah, the Glee guy.
Ryan Murphy.
Right, whatever Ryan Murphy has cooked up for the next 10 years. That'll be when she comes back.
Whatever fresh hell he's going to thrust upon us.
Oh my God, I just remembered a movie that I saw the other day, Bottoms. Have you seen it?
Yes.
I need to.
Oh, it's on Amazon Prime now, so you can watch it from the comfort of your own.
It's so good.
It's so silly and it's like 90 minutes, so it's a perfect length. I'm over like feature length movies.
100%.
90 minutes is the perfect amount for me to concentrate on something.
Yes, absolutely. And there's so much action in that movie as well. There's so much happening. I didn't look at my phone once.
That May, December are the like, everyone's like, you have to see these movies.
Yes, I love May, December. I've already talked about it on this podcast. My next reco as well, Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that.
Really
is
good.
Is it sad?
No.
Okay, great. I'm done with sad movies as well. I'm like, oh, I just, life is too much right now.
Yeah, we need a positive spin.
Yeah. Like, that's why I probably haven't seen. Is May, December funny?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. All funny recommendations. Thank you.
Yeah, but there is so much, especially for the gays as well. There's so much like sad gay angst. That's why I look forward to a movie like Bottoms, where it's just like, let's just
have a good
time.
Be
stupid and gay.
Yeah.
It's like that movie from the 80s, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, I haven't seen that.
From the 90s. How dare you age them like that?
Oh, my God.
This is the 90s.
Claire Duvall would be so upset.
And RuPaul and Natasha Lyonne.
Yes.
And...
Yeah. I've seen the screen caps on like the lesbian accounts I follow on Instagram.
Yes.
So I kind of feel like I have watched it.
I've never seen it either. I know it's like...
Yeah, it's like all I know is like RuPaul giving her like advice. And that he's straight now.
I love that era of movies. Like the Brady Bunch movies. Have you guys seen them?
So good.
They're so funny. RuPaul also in them randomly.
What the hell?
You know what they need to bring back? The Scary Movie franchise. Movie 3 is like one of my most favorite movies ever. It's so funny. It's so good.
I fucking love Scary Movie.
All I remember is the Scream Mask. Is that from there?
Yeah. With the weather. Yeah, that's so fucking good. Speaking of screaming, how was Taylor Swift, Charlie? We haven't caught up with you since.
Oh my God. I totally forgot you went. Yes. Did you get lots of bracelets and stuff?
Oh my God. Okay. So I have a really good story. So I went with my cousin and her mates down from Brisbane, and we did plan to make some bracelets before. Like we had the pack and everything, but then we started having pre-drinks and we were just kind of like, we're not in a bracelet making mood, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like we're just worried that
when you realize you're over 30.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're gonna go bracelet free, whatever. And we're walking to the MCG, and there is like, I would say, because there was like 96,000 in the stadium, but wow. I reckon there would have honestly been like 15,000 minimum outside the stadium.
Oh,
just like,
shit.
You know, with like rugs and blankets and like people just like tailgating or whatever.
Oh,
just
my God. Like, were there screens outside?
No, but you could hear it. Like my cousins live in Richmond and you could hear the concert just from their house. So
wow.
Like, and to be honest, it did look like a heap of fun to be doing that. But I did have like legitimate survivor's guilt walking past all these kids with my ticket, you know, because like you're seeing these like 12-year-olds where it's like,
that's their whole life
thing. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't deserve this. And I felt so like,
but you
they'll
do
have another
you
Taylor
are deserving.
I know.
Yeah. And also they're 12. Like Taylor will come back.
I know.
When she comes back, we'll be aged out.
There'll be a whole nother girl coming.
I thought you're gonna be like, so like Charlie doesn't have log left. Like
legend.
No, but like now is like a good time for us to go to those sort of things.
Yeah.
Because like we're in the age where we can fit in, but like 10 years from now, I don't really want to be.
That's true. Like, I've done my like concert for Taylor now. I probably don't need to see her when she comes back kind of thing. Anyway.
Totally.
But I was already in my head about it. And then we're walking through these crowds and then there's this car coming out of the MCG and it's this woman who was full blown crying. And she rolls down the window and yells to me and my cousin. She's like, have an amazing time. And we're like, and then she like stops and we're like, oh, thank you. Are you, what's wrong? And she was like, oh my God, I just had a seizure and I had to give away my ticket to a man I've always loved. And we're just like, what? She's like, please take my bracelets, and starts like rolling down, I want to say like 30 bracelets off her arms onto us. And he's sort of like almost like throwing them out the window at us kind of thing. Like, please, like
she
take just, it.
She needed them to go.
Yeah. And so we're like, okay. And like, we're wearing all these bracelets. And then she's like, have an amazing time for me. And we're like, we will. And then she like drove off into the distance and we're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Did she drive?
That's what we were so confused about.
She's telling you she just had a seizure.
Okay, what? Who is the man
it happened
she
so
loved?
Fast.
That's fucking crazy.
And it was like,
who is this gay man?
And like, who was also around? Like, how did it?
And like, wouldn't...
it wasn't adding up. The maths wasn't mathing.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean.
You know this girl. Wow. Please message us.
Yeah. To me, it felt like something was amiss. Like maybe she never had a ticket to begin with, but just wanted to be part of the excitement. And she's a bit of a It was one of the most bizarre experiences in my life.
Or maybe he was dropping her off.
Yeah.
And he was driving and then she had the seizure and then he was like, well, you can't go in and I'll just go in. But then she drove off. I'm just playing devil's advocate for her.
Absolutely. And some people have seizures regularly and are pretty loose with with how soon they drive afterwards.
Yeah, they're just she just drives.
But also, if she's good enough to drive, isn't she good enough enough to sit at a concert.
Something is amiss.
Yeah, you're right.
And with that many bracelets and this kind of like amount of like clear adoration for Taylor, like it was just...
I think she was like getting close to exiting like the parklands around MCG and was like, I can't, I need to give these away. Something else has happened. And then in the moment she said, I had a seizure.
Yeah.
And it's just, but you got your bracelets? What kind were they?
Did you give them away?
They were beautifully made bracelets.
Is the point to give them to other people and get theirs,
you,
right?
Like do trades and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I will say, so that all happened just getting to the concert. Then the concert was genuinely fucking amazing. It was so much fun. Taylor was great. Dancers were great. The concert was such a nice vibe. Everyone was just having the time of their lives. There was a lot of like bracelet swapping that went on. In my section, there was this lovely mother and daughter that were sort of stationing themselves like next to the sort of like exit to go to the bar and the bathrooms. And I think the daughter might have been like special needs because she was spending the whole concert facing the stairwell, not the stage, because she was basically like guarding the exit, being like, anyone who's passing me with a bracelet, I'm going to swap. And she was having the time of her life.
Oh,
and it was so adorable. And like, you know, the mum is dancing along to Taylor and every now and then she'd be like, darling, look, it's Taylor. Like she's really singing. And it was almost like the daughter was kind of like, mum, can it? I've got a duty to do.
I'm here for the bracelets.
It was so sweet. And yeah, it was just so such funny a lovely.
As well. Because also like it might have been like, look, huge stadium concerts can be so overwhelming, especially for like neurodiverse people. So like being able to just be like, I'm focusing on the bracelets and I'm not even going to watch the fucking thing. It's like, perfect.
It really was genuinely so sweet. And there were it felt like there were lots of people who really were enjoying the community spirit of it. I thought it was genuinely really beautiful and it was just such a good time.
Yeah. I can't believe how many Swifties there are. I didn't know.
We saw her twice, right? Because Jordan and I were just in Sydney where Taylor Swift played. And then we were also in Melbourne where she played here.
Yeah.
And actually I went to...
people are like, are you groupies?
Yeah, we're just like traveling. The plane was so full.
Full.
And people on the plane were already wearing the merch. So they'd seen it in Melbourne and then flew to Sydney to see her again.
Well, have I shown you my shoes?
No. Oh my God. They're bejeweled. Just like the song. Yeah. It was wild. I was worried that they were all going to start singing on the plane. But I had them on the way there and on the way back.
Yeah.
And like because I remember booking it and being like, it's a bit expensive. I guess it's Mardi Gras. And then realizing, it's Taylor Swift. And it was wild. And the energy was a little different to Melbourne because in Sydney it's in Homebush. So it was like a little further out.
In the suburbs. Whereas the trenches.
But it really felt like in Melbourne. Like I finished work at about the time that the gates opened at MCG and I have to drive past Punt Road to get home. And I just said, I'm going to have a drink.
Yes.
Like I'm going to sit for an hour and then go. I'm not mucking around.
You were speaking before about bursting a tire on the road and made me think. Josh dropped me off at my cousin's house, which it was in Richmond before we went to the show. And as he was leaving, he like burst his tire on the side of the road right under Richmond Station.
No.
Oh my God, that's such a hectic road.
I know. At the best of times, it's a hectic road. But this was like as the show is about to start. So it's like peak time for people converging, not just on the roads, but at Richmond Station. He was like, I've never been in a worse mood.
Yeah.
Because it was like hot as balls. He's trying to change a tire on like a highway. Oh. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of loud screaming Swifties are arriving.
Oh my God.
All of the Richmond like train operators on loudspeakers being like, to all the Swifties, come to this exit and all this kind of stuff. And Josh is like, I'm going to go insane.
His tire probably burst on like a jewel.
On a friendship bracelet. Just a spiky bit of the bracelet.
Yeah. Or he's having to like use the bracelets to like clog the hole.
Oh my God. And it's like, I don't even know how to change a tie. I'm a bad lesbian. But
yeah.
It was so funny to me watching, like you talk about survivor's guilt, seeing how many people posted about going several times.
I know
someone who went to all three in Melbourne.
Honestly.
And I was like, I'm posting about it.
I mean, the privilege is showing.
How was Mardi Gras, you guys, for the little that you experienced?
Oh my God. Actually, I saw Sophie Ellis-Bextor at the lobby, she checked in. Oh, I think she was already checked in, but she was there with her child. And Tamara was like, that's Sophie Ellis-Bexler. And I was like, how did you know that? And she was like, the accent. So then I Googled her and it was her. Then we check in. Then we go to the pool and she's in the pool.
With, oh my God.
Playing with her kids and with her assistant or something. Fuck. And it was so hard not to stare at them. Yes. And make them feel really uncomfortable.
Is she like one of the headliners?
She was the headliner at the Bondi Beach party.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's having huge. A real renaissance at the moment.
Yeah, and she's riding it.
I heard that her rider is a nanny.
Aww.
That's so sweet. And I just imagine being like her children who would have for the last few years had a relatively normal childhood.
Yes. Yeah.
And still look like they do. But now they get to travel around and go to Australia and opposite seasons because it would be winter at home. So now they're like splashing around in Sydney instead of having to be in school.
Yeah
that's so true. Nice.
That's jealous. Really beautiful. I didn't really get to experience much of Mardi Gras because I just sort of did this like one show. I hung out with my grandparents in Green Acre, like rock and roll. It was just kind of a whirlwind kind of in and out. But it's so nice being on Oxford Street just because it is so gay. And like Melbourne, where we are, is kind of starting to get... have some more like strips where it's a little bit more gay and stuff like that. But
having a dedicated space.
And like the historical relevance of it being there and stuff like that was really cool. And also the historical relevance of cops being banned from Mardi Gras this year.
Finally.
Pretty great. I mean, when you look at the history and you look at it, it doesn't take too much to realize how strange it is that they were there in the first place.
And also I think Melbourne rallying against it. I mean, it didn't stop the cops from attending the Victorian Pride March, but I think there's been so much discourse around it this year. And I think this helps to really hopefully set a precedent for the next years to come.
100%.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it wouldn't, we can't say that this isn't happening because of the deaths of Jesse and Luke in Sydney, who were murdered by a cop. And I think that's like the
loss to our community.
Yeah.
Like, two people will never get back and that are so missed and loved and by everyone and who knows them.
It's really harrowing. And like, even if there were queer cops, they can still just march as a regular citizen. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't have to be associated with the organization that Pride literally was created in retaliation against.
And it is also like, you've chosen to become a cop. You need to understand that by doing that, you can't be a part of Mardi Gras, or at least in your uniform.
In your uniform. And like, I mean, I know plenty of gays with jobs stayed on particularly like love.
Yeah.
Plenty of queers working corporate roles that probably go against some of their ethics, but at least they don't show up as a fucking fossil fuel investment miner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever it
the
is.
The fracking march.
Exactly.
No, I don't know if Rue's going to be there.
Honestly, I can totally see Rue having a fracking float. Yeah,
absolutely. Sponsored by BP. Yeah, a little rig.
Yeah. Like, you know how they usually like spray like water out into the crowd and just be oil.
Oil, yeah. Careful. I mean, there's already asbestos at
Sydney. Oh, I know.
Oh, what is with this asbestos mulch? Okay. Did I miss the origin of it? How did it happen?
I feel like asbestos was just considered so good for people back in the day that they put it everywhere.
Yeah, it was in your smoothies.
And like it was in baby powder.
Yeah,
and now we're learning that it's like harmed people and caused cancer.
How did it end up in the mulch?
I don't think they know yet.
Yeah.
I think they found it.
The gays put it there.
Oh, did you see Taylor walking past it? And then someone's like, oh no.
I knew it was like a couple playgrounds, but in Sydney, it's literally the footpaths.
Yes.
It's like, don't step on this asbestos mulch.
Wow.
You're like, I'm walking past like covering my mouth. Like, God.
No, it's the corruption in New South Wales, I reckon.
Yeah, yes. 100%.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Like, not to shit on our sister say too much, but whenever you're driving in New South Wales, there's so many like road cops. And I've never been stopped here.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I want to be or that I should be, but I'm like, why are there so many traffic?
And to bring it back to the situation in Sydney at the moment with these killings by the cop, I feel like there needs to be another state coming in to oversee this investigation. Not necessarily take over, but there's so much in-house politics going on with the New South Wales Police Force that I feel like you need an outsider eye. Like, this is becoming this story is just getting bigger and darker and more upsetting as the days go on.
And every single statement that the Commissioner Karen, what a fitting name, makes is just getting worse and worse.
Haters gonna hate. Did you see this on Sunrise?
Yeah, why the fuck is she quoting Taylor Swift when she's talking about literal murder?
Are you telling me she said that on Sunrise?
She said haters gonna hate. She was like saying about like people who are criticizing their response about being uninvited from Mardi Gras. And she was like, well, haters gonna hate. It's like, no, it's not haters. It's people rightfully critiquing a police force that have like failed to do right by the queer community for decades. And in this particular instance, it's like two gay men are dead. And yeah. Like there is all this stuff coming out that is about why this man was allowed to have the job that he had. And
the reporting around it has been disgusting as well. I feel like media reporting in Australia is pretty fucking shit at the best of times.
Yeah.
But the way that this double homicide has been reported and sensationalized.
And the way that they use the phrase, I really hate this phrase, crime of passion. Because it feels like there's a lack of control in it, or it's like they couldn't help themselves. The way that that phrase gets thrown around is disgusting and it's totally incorrect.
Yeah, yeah. You can't claim crime of passion and plan out all of these steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just deeply harrowing. And also just to flag for our listeners as well, we do pre-record some of these episodes. So yeah. There may have been like more recent facts come to light since we've recorded.
Yeah.
If we're like missing some obvious part of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we may not be in the know of everything yet because unlike the police, we don't have all the information.
Literally. Yeah. But big love to especially the Sydney and Gadigal queer folk. We hope that you're okay. And I hope that Mardi Gras this year is a huge celebration and that people enjoy it and that it feels less copy and less corporate. And we, as a result of this hideous crime, find a sense of community again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. We got to talk about it.
Yeah.
And continue the good fight.
Yeah.
In other queer news, have you guys heard the rumors that Meryl Streep and Martin Short are dating?
I have.
I have not.
I have heard this.
Wait, why?
I feel like in my head, they're both gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but somehow this like makes sense to
What's
me.
This on Dumois? Yeah.
Spotted. It's just like, they're just like always together and like they're showing up at red carpets together. They're like kind of being flirty or like there's okay. just some body language that people are reading into. They've said nothing and it's yes. kind of amazing. Well, I mean, didn't Meryl break up with her husband?
It is wow. possible. Also, they're both on... what's it called? Murders in the Building? Or Only Murders in the Building with Selena Gomez. And the theory is that that's what Selena was gossiping about in that now famous thing where she's whispering.
God.
Because she said, I was actually talking about some friends of mine that had got together.
What? It's Selena Gomez calling Meryl Streep her friend?
Well, she's on the current season of Only Murders in the Building.
Okay, but like, do you think that Meryl is just like friends willy-nilly with anyone?
I actually think she would be.
She would
be. They also love Selena. Like, there are all these clips and interviews with them. They're like always like, Selena, come sit with us.
Oh
like,
my God. I think they've really taken her under their wing.
That's actually really cute.
I think most of the cast other than Selena are of that generation.
Yeah.
So they've kind of taken her under their wing a little bit. To make her feel included and all that sort of stuff. So it's like one of those like celeb conspiracies that I want to believe.
Yes. Oh my God, that would put a pep in my step.
Yes.
Wow.
They're so beautiful. Funny.
They make me think of the couple in The Nanny, you know, the butler and Cece, how they're like always feuding and like they're both gay.
Yeah.
But they've got this like fiery, like
it's like a sexual tension that is not sexual.
It's like in Parent Trap as well,
The Nanny and the Butler?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
100%.
Such a formative trope.
They end up getting engaged.
Yeah.
It was pretty beautiful. Are we up to our pop or flops?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do it. I have a pop this week. Did you guys see that Vanessa Williams has been announced as playing Miranda Priestly in the musical of Devil Wears Prada?
I didn't even know they were doing a musical of the Devil Wears Prada.
Wait, on Broadway or like a movie?
No, I think it's West End, actually.
Oh, classic.
I think it actually did a brief season on Broadway a couple years ago. and was canned. Like, it was, like, not well reviewed at all.
Mm-hmm. West End love a shit musical as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, we'll take it.
They love to stunt cast a shit show.
Yes. It does seem like that. I think, because it's written by Elton John, and I think after the reviews, there's been, like, revisions made of the show. So hopefully this is, like, an improved version of it. But maybe it is just the same crap show and they've just shoved Vanessa Williams in. But it's such a genius casting.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you guys watched Ugly Betty growing up, but I was absolutely fucking obsessed with it. And Vanessa plays Wilhelmina Slater, which is just Miranda Priestley.
An incredible name as well, yes. Wilhelmina Slater. Yeah. Do you want to hear a fun story about a cast member in Ugly Betty and also a cast member in The OC?
Yes.
So who's the Ugly Betty's like love interest, who's also her boss, the like tall blonde guy?
I don't know the actor's name, but
His dad, who also plays Kirsten Cooper's from The OC, Kirsten Cohen's father. He's this old Australian guy called Alan something, and he was in Neighbours and stuff like that. And then he played like Marissa Cooper's like stepdad in The OC, and he's also like this big CEO corporate guy in Ugly Betty. And in the 90s, when he'd moved to the UK and he hadn't been getting much work from Neighbours, he came to a bar that my mum was working at, and my mum and dad worked at the same bar in London, and he hit on my mum.
Oh my God.
And he was maggoted, and she was about 20 years old.
That could have been your dad.
Yes, you could have been in the Ugly Betty dynasty.
Oh my God, imagine. Devastated it didn't work out because he was paralytic.
Oh my God. So funny. That's so funny.
But that'll be exciting. Hopefully that's, I just want to see a fun musical. That's all.
I don't mind if it's shit. In fact, I kind of love it when...
I love it when it's
shit. The worst are better.
Yes. Yeah. It's either got to be genuinely amazing or genuinely horrible. Mm. I will go see it either way.
Princess Diana the musical.
Yes. When's that coming to Melbourne?
Oh, please. Come on, cast me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jordan is auditioning.
Your dream role.
As the queen.
Would you want to be Camilla or Diana?
I'd want to be Diana. Are you kidding? I want to do that quick
But it was Camilla's
change.
Story.
In the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, we need to, like, talk about that whole family, but...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Next time.
Next time. I'll go ahead with a pop for this week.
Yeah.
I love it when celebrities seem to be running their own social media because I feel like it's so rare, but... The Hugh Jackman just posted this selfie where he's holding a martini glass and the caption is, yes, with lots of S's. And it just seems like it's him posting. And I also, I know the queer allegations, you know.
Allegations.
Speculation about Hugh Jackman's, we shouldn't speculate, et cetera, et cetera.
No,
but
we should. I think we really should.
I felt that that post was a little bit LGBTQIA plus coded.
Yeah,
it certainly wasn't straight.
I'm here for it.
There was a lilt in the way he was holding that martini.
It was cute.
It was also so exciting. Like, it made me want to have a little martini.
Also, who's taking the photo? That's what I want to know, because it's not a selfie.
No.
He's sitting opposite someone,
true,
drinking his little martinis and looking very coy and gay.
And I will just say, like, Tamara and I, like, did the scrolling back to see when he last posted with his ex, and it was, like, several months ago, and it seemed like a totally different post. It was, like, happy birthday, so glad we're together for 2700 years.
Yes.
Compared to like, yes, like smiling, you know, and it's just like, wow.
Like, it is year 40.
of this contract.
Exactly. And yeah, I'm just happy for him.
Oh, good. And I did it exuded joy. Like that was, and it, yeah, it's
that was
exciting.
Genuine and like not PR.
I can't 100%. Wait for the eventual reveal that he's dating some like shredded twink.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I have a flop. My flop goes to the Academy for not having a category for best actor by a dog. Best actor who is a dog. Because I was talking about Anatomy of the Fall earlier in this episode. I'm obsessed with it. I keep thinking about it. But the dog, I have never in my life thought about dog acting, let alone been so struck by it. This dog is the best acting dog I have ever seen in my life. What it is capable of, what it did in this moment is unmatched. And I'm seeing him on red carpets. I'm seeing him at like Academy Award events and stuff
and
like that.
I'm seeing people meet the dog and look excited.
And the dog looks better than people on the red carpet.
Yes.
It's like, imagine getting eaten up by a dog.
Is it like a border collie or something?
It's like, it's like it looks like a border collie. Like, yeah, I think so.
Like a working dog. That's your dog.
Fully.
Does it look like Bonnie?
a little bit.
It's like kind of more tan.
It's like a white kind of, yeah.
Maybe she could be an actor and then you could make some money.
Oh, no, she's too nervous. Aww. She is so neurotic. I was trying to brush her. Like, she won't let me brush her. Like, I call them her pantaloons. Like, she gets the sort of, like, long fur on the back of the legs, but she's so resistant to it. I have to, like, give her treats and be, like, brushing as I'm going.
Yeah. Okay, so she, can't be upset.
Yeah.
Okay, well... I'm so sad we won't have, like, acting pads in the podcast.
I also want to pop lightly on the note of
Eddie Bryant.
This dog. Well, Eddie Bryant is great. But I want to pop a website. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called doesthedogdie.com.
Yes.
Oh. I use it all the time. If there's a dog in a movie or an animal and I'm worried, especially in scary movies or something like that, and I will let you know now, this is a spoiler alert. If you really don't want to hear about this part in Anatomy of a Fall, then skip.
Close
the
ears.
Close the ears. The dog does not die, which I think is actually a relief because the acting is incredible. But it's a great website to go to. It also has like a whole load of trigger warnings about if there's like assault, any like suicide stuff in there as well. It's just really handy if you're like, I just want to
prep myself.
Prep myself and not watch an animal die. Yeah. I can watch... don't love it, but I'll watch a whole lot of things. But if an animal is gonna die on screen, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, just cut that part.
It being a category at the Academy. Did you see Eddie Bryant hosted, I think it was the SAG Awards or something like that recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she did this great bit about like award categories that she wants that they've said no to. And one of them was like best acting from a dog in France.
Oh my God.
And then it was like best PR aversion of sexual misconduct allegations, brackets, male.
and yes.
This kind of stuff. She slayed. And she also did this part where she was like, now, as a host of an award ceremony, it's so important that I try roast the audience. So it's like, Natalie Portman, you're a stupid bitch.
It was very funny. I saw that bit, the roasting bit.
She's like killing. It's so funny.
She's so great. Yeah. I can't even remember the name of the guy from Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. Joe Coy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Joe.
To that man.
Yeah, sorry to that man.
Well, that's the end of the episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.